Started on love, and I want to continue today and next week because it's Valentine's. Say Valentine's. Little heart, make a little heart with your hand. Girls are doing it. Guys are like, shut up. Well, you like that day. Don't be looking at me like that. I know you love that day. We're going to talk about love. I'm going to talk about love. Pastor Andrew's going to preach because I was trying to figure out what other pastor on staff has a little passion in him. So maybe a little love and passion. So maybe we'll get him to jump in on this series. And I'm really excited about the stuff that God's doing and what he's going to do. But I want to talk about love on fire today. And I want to talk a little bit about ours. Father, I just pray that you bless this service, bless our time together, bless your word as it goes forth. Would you put your hand on your heart? Father, I pray you'd open these hearts to just be filled with more of your love. I pray if there's anything that's hindered this heart, that's hurt this heart, I pray, God, that you would bless them. I pray that you would take away every fiery arrow that's come in. And I pray, God, that you would heal holes and make them whole and holy. But I pray you'd fill them with love today. Fill them with more love. Expand their hearts to receive more love. Enlarge their hearts, like Proverbs talks about. Lord, enlarge my heart that I could love more. And I pray for a larger capacity of love in the name of Jesus. Amen. How many of you guys like just like a warm fire? Do you guys like a warm fire? If you could start my clock up there, it'd help me. If you know how to do it, I don't know how to, you know, if you could do it, it'd be awesome. Otherwise, I'll preach too long. But how many just like that, a warm fire? You like that? And you know, how many know when there's a warm fire, like you like lean in because you just like anticipate the warmth of that fire? You know, how about like when you're with a loved one at a fire? I mean, you like to sit there with your spouse and, you know, with your loved one and you're just sitting there, whoo, that little warm fire going. And, you know, and isn't that nice? You get to snuggle by a fire and your hearts, and you see little fiery hearts in their eyes twinkling. Whoo. I was thinking about a fire, and it's kind of comical. I'm sorry I'm taking it off subject, but I'm going to do it anyway because I can, because I have a microphone. But as kids, we went across. I was thinking about fires, okay? It's kind of funny. It's a true story. So we're camping across America. My mother, 8 kids in a station wagon and a collie. Okay, it's like what's a station wagon? Like a slammed minivan. Okay, slam a minivan. Shove 8 kids and a collie in that and drive across America and back. My mom did that. Crazy. And she'd never driven out of her backyard, let alone 3,000 miles across, because her relatives were in New Hampshire. So we drove back to Hollis, New Hampshire. And so basically we were heading back to New Hampshire, and we're camping across America. This is cool. And this is like, we had so many Griswold stories. I could tell you stories. Oh my goodness. But we're camping across America and we make it to Utah, and it's freezing in Utah. Hello. It was freezing. And we're on these like red rock mountains, and there was big iguanas. I was hunting these lizards. I was like, awesome. You know, catching these. Anyway, just kids, you know, running around the rocks. But the fire came time for the fire. You know, when you're freezing, everybody's around the fire and we're anticipating the fire getting going. And they're like, and I was too small to do the fire. I don't know. I was young. You know, I was a little guy. And so my older brother, of course, is the guy in charge, you know, get away, and he's going to do this thing. So he's lighting it, and it fizzles out. And, you know, and I'm always like the engineer guy. Like, you know, I like have, I'm like, anyway, I'm thinking like, you got to do it like this. But they wouldn't listen to me. So he decides he's probably watching this, or he's going to be watching this. When you do watch this, because I know my brother works in the grocery business, but he watches these and listens to these sermons. So this is for you, Jim. And he takes Coleman white gas. Not supposed to put that on fires. We didn't have lighter fluid, and we didn't have any of the charcoal lighter fluid you're supposed to use. So he gets a bright idea and puts Coleman white gas on it. And that stuff's explosive, and we're all standing there, and then he lights it. It went, but really loud, like, poo. It burned my eyebrows and my eyelashes, the hair on my arm, if I had any, because I was like 12 or whatever. Like, literally, I'm not lying. Just like, boosh, flash burn right there. And nobody went to the hospital and nobody got hurt, but we all got a little... We weren't exactly like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We had a little smell and we got a little hair burn, but... We were all still walking with a fourth man who was with us, probably shading us from the explosion. We should have sent some of us to the hospital with that. Literally, I don't know how we all made it out of that. I think there were some serious angels traveling with my mom in her station wagon. But it was fun because we were all leaning in to the fire and it was like, boom, you know, and there's something about a fire we need to lean into. And today I want to talk about God firing up our hearts. And I just want you to lean in a little bit. And we don't need to be afraid of God. And sometimes we're afraid of God's fire and God's passion and God's, and but we don't need to be afraid of God. We don't need anything. I was thinking of fires. There was one other thing I wanted to say. My first date with Teresa. Ooh. Valentine's Day is coming when I proposed, I think, many years back. Yeah. But I was thinking of our first date. And I went on the first date, and it was this dark restaurant. You know, it's like, not dark like evil, but I mean like a nice white tablecloth French, you know, restaurant. So we sit down, and the lights are low, and there's candles on the table, and the candlelight's flickering on her skin. And I'm pretty dense, you know? I'm really like thinking like, I'm going to be on this date and, you know, but God's got to speak to me like whenever I, you know, when I get married, God's going to talk to me. I'm sitting there and our first date, I'm sitting across the table about this far and I'm looking at the light on her face and it's all beautiful. And I'm like, she's beautiful, but you know, there's a lot of beautiful women. God, like, you know, I know God speaks to me as I'm sitting there and he goes, that's your wife. It's clear as day. I know the voice of God. He said, that's your wife. And I about like, just like, I feel like that cartoon when I was a kid, when the mouth would hit the ground and the tongue was down on the bottom of the ground. I'm thinking, am I drooling? Is my mouth open? I was like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just sitting there in the moment, but I'll never forget that moment, you know, the way that the light was flickering on her face and that, you know, like there's that everybody can go, oh. There's a time when your love just like, when your heart catches and it feels like it skips a beat. And God wants that same thing that I had when the first time I knew this would be my wife. And I knew when he spoke to me, because I, you know, my friends are like, oh, you can go, you do all this, you can do this and that, and you can, you know, talk through this and that. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not doing any of that stuff. God's going to speak to me or he's not going to speak to me. That's just the way I am. But I got to tell you, when your heart knows that that's the one you're going to spend the rest of your life with, it just like, I just like a fire went off inside of my heart. And hope comes into your heart. And God, today, I don't want to talk about relationship fire. I'm not going to talk about your spouse. It's as close as you're going to get to the ooey gooey moment, you know, with your, if you're squeezing hands, just hold them tight right now and just like love on them. I want to talk about you and God. I want to talk about, because God looks at you just like that same thing. When I looked and God said, that's your bride. He looks at us and he says, that's my bride. And guys, you get to be the bride today. Just, you know, just chill out. You know, that we talk about sons and we say it's for the girls too. They have to like write themselves in. So you get to be the bride today too. So chill out. But God looks at you into the love and his heart skips a beat. And he loves us and he wants us to have our hearts in love with him. And he'll do whatever it takes to get our hearts in love with him. He'll remove anything that hinders our hearts from totally being sold out and connected with him. Isn't that beautiful? So today I want to talk about, I want to come, last week I started into Peter. I knew I wouldn't preach all this, but I want to come back into that story in John 21, verse 9. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. I want to kind of camp out in verse 9 a little later. And then Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and he dragged a net full of large fish, 153. I want to come back to that. And there, although there were so many, the net was not broken. Note that. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you, knowing that it was the Lord. And then Jesus came and he took the bread, he gave it to them, and likewise the fish. So he gave them bread and he gave them fish. We'll revisit that. Now, this is the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. We covered that last week. And when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And I want to come and I want to look at that today too. Do you love me more than these? And he said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. Now, I love my new favorite translation is the Passion Translation. It's awesome. And I want to read John 21:15 out of the Passion Translation. The Passion Translation says, after they had breakfast, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you burn with love for me more than these? Do you burn with love for me more than these? And Peter answered and said, yes, Lord, you know that I have great affection for you. Whoops. Do you burn with love for me? Yeah, I have great affection for you. I would like to marry you. Well, I'm thinking about it. That doesn't work. Do you burn with love for me? I have great affection for you. It's not exactly. Peter wasn't exactly flowing with the same. This was not reciprocating very well. And Jesus asked him again. So first thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about the fire of God's love. So he asked him, Simon, he said, do you love me? Do you burn with this love? Do you? And Peter's standing there next to a fire, and he's standing, and as he's standing next to that fire, he's probably remembering when he was standing next to the other fire. You remember? And he's standing next to the fire where he denied Christ. And here he's standing next to the fire that Jesus started. And I want to touch on that. Like, we used to burn with worldly passions. We used to, and now he restores us to burn with the fire that he starts inside of us, dreams he gives us, passion he kindles, a love that is eternal, a love that comes from God, a love for things of God. God takes it. He doesn't just take us and he just says, get rid of your feeling and your passion. He sanctifies it. He doesn't say get rid of it. He sanctifies it. He makes it clean and holy. If you look deeper in this passage, you'll see the language Jesus spoke was Aramaic. And, you know, I know it's penned in Greek, and I've done studies about it penned in Greek. But when you look at the Aramaic, there's something here that's so powerful. What he said in his original language, the word love in Aramaic is huba. Say huba. Huba. Say huba. Huba. So that's the love. When he said love in Aramaic, he was saying, Peter, do you huba me? Okay? And that word huba, well, we understand that in the Greek, this highest form of love and agape love. But in the Aramaic, there's something even more powerful about it. Huba comes from a root word, which means to set on fire. It's a homonym, and one of the meanings of that word, besides love, it comes from a root that means to set on fire. Say, set on fire. Could it be that Jesus is standing next to a fire, and he uses this word in Aramaic to Peter and says, do you love me? Do you huba me? Do you huba me? And Peter's looking at this fire. Do you burn with a fire? Is your heart set afire? Is it set aflame? Does it burn like this fire? I'm standing on the shore next to you. And here, Peter, do you get this? I think Peter, and then Peter responds with that, you know, I'm, you know, like, it's a lame response. God wants us to love him. He wants us to burn with passion for him. And Jesus is asking him to burn with love for him. And I think that's what he's asking all of us today. Can we just burn with love for Jesus Christ? Can we release our passion? Has something hindered your passion? Has something hindered your love? You know, is our love kindled with a coal from heaven? Or does man and does circumstance, does any of the other things of this world hinder your love for God? Because it shouldn't. Romans tells us none of these things can separate us from the love of Christ. And he lists a whole list of stuff. So if you think about it, you know, the first fire that Peter was next to was a world's fire. There was people there and he denied Christ next to the world's fire. But this was a fire that Jesus started. Now, how do you know Jesus, when Jesus starts a fire, that's a different fire. Jesus didn't come up and say, take the fish you just caught and put it on my fire. Jesus already had a fire. He already had fish and he already had bread. You say, what's the big deal? Everything's a big deal. There's something in there. You need to look at it. And John was so deep. There's something there for you that he's writing in this passage. The second fire was a fire set on, started by the Creator. Creator of heaven and earth started that fire. There's bread on there from the Creator of heaven and earth. And there's fish on there. There's meat on there from the Creator of heaven and earth. I think there's something there for us. Isaiah, here, this Jesus is by these coals of this fire, and he's telling Peter, does your heart, do you love? Does it burn with love? In Isaiah 6, 6 and 7, it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having his hand on a live coal, which he'd taken from tongs from the altar. And as you look at this passage in Isaiah, I was blown away last night. Jeremy started to speak the same thing. I said, he's preaching my sermon, you know? I'm like, wow, that's awesome. And he's talking about the coal coming. It was so powerful. Isaiah just saw the Lord and the train fill the temple, and he sees the Lord of glory, and all of a sudden he comes in contact with the fact that he's a man of sin. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He comes into the presence of God, and then God takes, and the angel, the seraphim, comes and takes this live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. He touches his mouth with it and says, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. There was a call that was started from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Before, the altar was a place over here. Now Jesus, this is after the cross, and Jesus is talking with them after the cross. Now that fire's different after the cross. The presence is different. The bread is different. The fish is different. Everything is different now. Come on, somebody. I think this act was a prophetic symbol of what, with Isaiah, this was a prophetic symbol of what all humankind needed. They needed purification, and they needed, when they came in contact with God, they understood their sin, and they showed that this coal, this fire, this is what all of humankind needed. And after the cross, Jesus even told them, go and wait in Jerusalem. Go wait for the promise of the Father. And then the Holy Spirit came down on them with tongues like of fire. And the Holy Spirit is sometimes, it talks about that fire of God, this fire that comes inside of us. This Emmanuel, that the God that was out here, is now God with us, God in us, Emmanuel. He's with us, and now there's this holy purification where that same coal that came from the altar that purified the prophet's mouth, that now you could see that God was blessing the saints of today, and it's found in Christ now. And what was there before, He is our purification. As that coal purified, He's the one, and He's standing by the fire, restoring Peter and purifying Peter's love, and calling Peter to love his church, calling him to have a love. And as he tells Peter, and he's stirring his heart, saying, huba me. He's telling him to set your heart on fire, release the passion towards me, and love my people, love my sheep, love my church. Yes. It's not either or, it's both. Jesus through the cross was the final offering. There was something about that. Jesus gave them bread, even as he was the bread of life. Jesus gave them fish, and he said later in one text, or earlier in text, he said, my meat is to do the will of him who sent me. And last week we talked about him, putting love into action. He talked about Jesus, he gave us love, but he called Peter to action. Jesus put Peter into action and his love into action. The second thing I want to talk about is the fish and the fire, because there's something significant. It says in verse 9, as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire with coals there and fish laid on it and bread. There was 153 fish. What's the significance of 153? And if you take the Hebrew alphabet, every letter has a numeric value. But if you take that and you figure out what words have a numeric value that equal the 153, you'll see that it's really powerful that that 153 is very significant about several things. So I just want to touch base on a couple of those real quick, because there was something significant. Why would they say it if there wasn't something important? 2A is, one is the presence. And I believe, because 153 is the numeric value of the name of the guy that actually crafted the ark. And as he crafted the ark, and what was the ark? The ark carried the presence, right? And so there was something significant about God. God came and God put a fire, his coal of the fire. He was the sacrifice. And now here he is, and he counts these 153 fish. And I think there was significant about him pointing to the presence of a new covenant that we carry, because God is love. And what was inside the ark was the presence of God. But the Bible tells us God is love. So it was love. And now we are carriers of the presence of God. We're carriers of love. And he's telling Peter, will you let your heart be set on fire with love for me? Not just I think affectionately of you, but will you passionately love me? Will you be one of these carriers of the ark? Will you carry the love and the presence of God to a people who need it? And the next one, 2B, is redemption. First one I want to point out was presence. 2A is presence, because the numeric value was this guy. And I think another one is 153 also. It speaks of the numeric value of the word Passover. which is a picture of redemption, to be his redemption, because the word speaks of the word Passover, which is a picture of God's great redemption. As he's pointing to his redemption, as he's pointing to his Father's love, what's the famous scripture you're going to see today at the game, and you see it at every single game? John what? And what does it speak of? Love and redemption. God so loved that he sent his son. Are you here? I got to tell you this. We better get this, because this is the year of love. This is the year. What year is this? 2000 what? 16. And what does 16 represent? What is the word? What is 16? What does 16 represent in the Bible? Come on, take all the numbers. 5, grace. You got 7, completion. What's 16? 16 is love. Say love. Love. 16 is God's love number. John, what? Read Psalms 16. Powerful. In 1 Corinthians, what is it called? 1 Corinthians 13 is called the what chapter? How many descriptions of love is there? 16. 16. 16 is a jubilee year. 16 is a year of the release of God's love. 16 is the love year. The revival that's coming is a revival that comes in on love. Jesus restored Peter with what? And he told Peter, and he poured it into Peter, but it's not just for Peter, it's for all of us. And Peter was to lead that church. God wants love to be the mark of the church. This is the year of love. That's the mark of the revival of all revivals. This is the year of God's love. We got to get it and embrace it. And we got to get a hold of that. Say, Huba. Burning like a fire set on fire. What do you have to do to keep your heart on fire? What do you have to do if you make a fire? You got Daniel, you have a wood burning stove. What do you got to do to keep that wood burning stove burning? You got to feed it. You got to put fuel. You got to put air. You got to put something. Don't use white gas. Okay? Don't use white gas. Thank you. Don't try that one at home, ladies and gentlemen. Unless you want to look like a, yeah. Huba, what do you got to do to keep your heart on fire? Okay? If you're dissed like Peter and he's out fishing and he's dissed, it's like you got to come back to Jesus and catch that love. You got to connect with Jesus. You got to connect with Jesus' love. You got to connect with him, and he's the one. God so loved the world that he what? His what? You have a love relationship with his son that's just waiting for you. And Jesus wants to connect with you. Jesus appeared on the shore so Peter would connect with him. God's trying to connect with you. And the next one is, C is 153. Some people say that stands for 153 people groups across the earth. So I wrote down world evangelism just because there was something in Isaiah that was similar, as I've used this Old Testament scripture in Isaiah 6. Look at verse 7, he says, and he touched my mouth with it, and behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity was taken away, and your sin was purged. Look at verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Right after he received the purification, talk about a prophetic, oh, here's a prophet, and he's giving you an Old Testament illustration. When he received the purification, now he was qualified to go. Yes. And he said, who? And they said, who will go for us? He said, here I am, send me. And what does he say in verse 9? He said, go tell these people. You keep on hearing, but you don't understand. You keep seeing, you don't perceive. And listen to what he says in 10. Make the heart of these people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. He's saying something significant here, because he's trying to give us a picture of what Jesus did with Peter. Jesus was taken and restored him by a fire, restored him by the coals, and was restoring him, and then gave him love and vision and said, go feed my sheep, go tend my sheep, go feed my lambs. He's telling him, go and do what I called you to do, and to love people. And love was the mark. Do you love me? And loving him is the source that keeps us fired up. Are you getting something? Yes. And number three is just keep our love burning for him. I wanted to just talk about that. The title is Love on Fire, but if our love's going to be on fire, how do we keep our love burning for him? He said to Peter in that transient Passion translation. In that translation, he said, do you burn with love for me? Do you burn? And as we go back to that word, huba, this Aramaic word, it's a powerful word and it means to set on fire, but there's something more here. And I wanted to come back to it in that translation. If you look at the Aramaic, it says, Simon, now catch this. He said, Simon, son of the dove. Simon, son of the dove. When he's speaking to him in his original language, we lose something sometime. He's saying, Simon, son of the dove. Do you huba me? Do you burn with passion? What was the dove? The dove was a sign of the fire of the Holy Spirit coming in our loves, in our lives. And now God comes and he's saying to us, are we filled with the fire and passion of the Holy Spirit? And that Holy Spirit is the one who keeps us fired up. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot do what God called us to do. That's why he said, go wait in Jerusalem. But we don't have to wait anymore because the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit is here. If you want to be filled, the Bible tells us you just ask and he gives it to you because he's a good father. Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Mm. We have a new fire because Jesus started that fire. And he sent his promise of his Holy Spirit burning inside of us. Oh. Do you burn with love for me? More than these. It's because Peter did a knucklehead thing in Matthew 26. He's talking and he says, the very night you will fall away on account of me, for it's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And he tells it in verse 32, but he says, but after I have risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. And Peter just rises up, pipes up, and whatever. He was passionate. Matthew 26, 33, Peter said, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. But he probably was right in the midst of all the disciples. And all the disciples were like, wow, that was pretty lame. We're standing here. Jesus says that's going to happen. And then Jesus says, you're all going to be scattered. And they're all like going, oh. And Peter's like, they all can, but I'm not. And they're all looking going, shut up. You know what I mean? If I was there, I'd have been like, speak for yourself, man. What's up with you? All of a sudden, you're who, you know? Anyway, just saying. Peter just kind of just blew it. He made a stupid statement. And I think Jesus was sitting there by the fire. And he just looked and he just said, you know, do you love me more than these? Because he was referring to this saying, like, you just said in front of all of those disciples that you were going to stand with me to the end. Like, you loved me more than them. And now he's saying, do you love me more than these? And Peter was humbled because he knew what he'd said. And Jesus brought him back to the point of humility to bring him back to the point of love. And some of us, we need to take the point of humility and to never put ourselves above the other disciples. Never elevate ourselves above our brother and our sister. Never elevate our position, our church, our families, our lives. But we love each other. We embrace each other. And from a place of humility, we can have our passion and love restored and a heart burning for Jesus. Jesus brought him right back to humility. And I think he looked and he realized that he blew it just like all the rest of them. Matter of fact, he denied him 3 times. Some of the other guys didn't do what he did. You know what I mean? They can be like, oh, we're not and you aren't. I can just see him after that going, wow, you really showed us how to do that one, Peter. You know what I'm saying? But I don't think they're about condemnation and saying all that stuff. I might have said that stuff. I'm just saying. Hello, are you here? Why did he say what he said? I'm just reading it going, why would he say that? And I think it's because he was trying to tell him this and Jesus was restoring him. And Jesus was restoring him. But I want you to see, what did he restore him to? He restored him to love for him. We need to be those who are marked with love for him. Can I get the worship team up here? Can I have the whole worship team come on up? All of you, please come on up. I don't care if you come straight up the front. It's not going to distract anyone. It doesn't distract me. But I appreciate you guys going around the back. But just come right up. It's okay. Look, we all have something that'll complete our passion. And we all have things that we've done that hinders our passion that we need to deal with. And maybe you're in a spot where you're doing really good. Then that's okay. But I just want to just ask you today. I just want to ask you if if you'll allow him, if there's something that you said out of your mouth. I look for stuff. The other night I was sitting in the meeting and all of a sudden I had fever and chills. And the first thing I look for is I say, did I violate the Sabbath? Because it's probably my biggest thing that I have to problem with is to rest, take a day of rest. And I said, no, I didn't think I violated the Sabbath, but forgive me, God, if I violated the Sabbath and didn't rest, you know, like, because it's hard as a pastor to shut it off and not be a pastor. And I said, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, I'm going through this drill right away, because the first thing I'm thinking is sickness can't sit on me. I'm sitting in a revival meeting and I got fever and chills, and I'm sitting there and I'm like going, I got fever and chills. And I'm like, God, I love you. And you know, sickness has no place in me. And yet, you know, I knew, and I looked over and I look at Taylor and I go, do you have fever and chills? And he says, yeah, I've had it the whole night. It was a word of knowledge the whole time. But the first thing I did was I looked inside, because I'm smart enough to know, I'm not smart enough to know that sometimes you blow it. Even trying to do good for God. Peter was on a boat fishing, and that's what he did for a living. I'm a pastor, but I can't go out and do what I do for a living. I have to stop what I do and rest. Are you here? We have to take times where we stop as a family. All of our pastors have to stop and rest, because we can't just go, go, go. Peter was a fisherman. He was fishing and God called him out of his boat. And some of you, you've got to come out of your boat. You're too busy doing something. I prayed for Taylor, and you know, and that's no condemnation, because sickness was on him and he's been dealing with it, and Teresa was down and feeling sick, and all kinds of pastor friends of mine are telling me that. That isn't bad that we go, oh my goodness, but we stand against it and say, no sickness will come near us, no evil will befall us, none, none. Are you here? But my point was, is that we need to look in. Sometimes we need to take the coal and say, does it need to touch my lips? Did I say something or do something that's allowing a door for the devil? And if my passion has decreased, God, will you take and show me if there's something I've spoken, if there's anything I've done, cleanse me and make me whole. That mercy is new. I'm born again. You're born again. But we get to come to that cross again and again and again. Are you with me? We need to come back to the cross and say, so if there's something that I want you just to start to play some worship, something kind of ooey ooh, worshipful, kind of ooey gooey, rich and chewy, just worshipful, just that thick like honey, just kind of worship like, hey, so. But sometimes we need that coal from the altar. And sometimes we just need that to fan the flame, as we need boldness to come in. Is there anybody here? Dan said there, it needs air as well as fuel. It needs air. We need the winds of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we need to let wind come out of our mouth because we're too subdued and too quiet. We need to get up and praise. We need to give a sacrifice of praise. When they come in, you don't need the worship leader going, come on and worship. Come on and worship. You need to give a sacrifice of praise. You need to let some wind come out of your mouth. We need the winds of God. We need to get around the winds. We position ourselves. My goodness, you got world changers coming here for free. You can go. We pay to go to conferences to get around world changers, because I need wind. I need fire. I need to stoke it. I know I need to be stirred. So whether you need the coal from the altar like the prophet to touch your lips, whether you need the wind of God and that to fan it, whether you need God just to stir the passion and affirm it, would you just stand with me? Maybe you need to affirm it and just tell him and say, I do love you. I love you with all my heart. I love you with all that's in me. I huba you. I don't just have affection for you. My heart burns for you. I am a burning one. Would you just say, I'm a burning one. My heart burns for you. Oh, I want your love to fill my heart, God. Fill my heart, God. Fill it to overflowing, God. Oh, give me not just. Oh, some of you, you got to understand. I said I'd come back to the bread. Sometimes all we want, bread, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He is that which sustains us. Sometimes all we want is